Music is full of mysteries. Why does one song make you happy and another make you sad? And why does one chord sound right and another sound wrong? And why, when you're listening to certain songs, do you get the irrepressible urge to tap your feet or nod your head or even have a little boogie in your seat? Massey University musicologist Jared Mackley-Crump is particularly interested in that last question, and he joins us now to try and explain a bit about the concept of groove. Hey, Jared.
Kia ora, Jesse. Hello.
Kia ora, and first of all, welcome back to New Zealand.
Thank
I know you've been travelling the world.
I have a little bit, yeah. Been
give us the short version. Where have you been?
Started in Sri Lanka and kind of did an overland arc through India, Myanmar, Thailand, Malaysia, Singapore, Hong Kong.
Tell me about the food.
Oh, gosh, we don't have time. I could talk for hours about the food. Amazing, yeah.
Has it impacted your own cooking and what you sort of seek out now that you're back in New Zealand?
It will. Once I need to track down some kind of recipe books and start to experiment over summer, I think.
Was Sri Lankan food, was that the one that's going to stick with you, do you think?
Well, Indian food is definitely my favourite food, which was before we went to India. But Sri Lankan food is also quite distinct. And so I really, I want to learn to cook some Sri Lankan as well.
Okay.
I understand there's a really good Sri Lankan restaurant in Sandringham, so I'll have to check it out next time I'm in Auckland.
Seven Siri or
something like that. Yeah.
Mm. Okay. Good Pakistani restaurant too, just down the road in Mount Roskill called Des Traditions for anyone who's interested in a really different style of food.
So you could do a food show as well.
But let's talk about groove. What do you mean by groove and why were you interested in exploring it today?
Well, groove is such a funny kind of concept because everyone instinctively knows what groove is, right? We all kind of know what a groovy song sounds like. But once you start to really try to define what groove is, I think it's quite a hard concept to put a kind of finger on. So let me give you a really good definition that says something without saying anything. So according to the learned, people of academia, a groove is an unspecifiable but ordered sense of something that is sustained in a distinctive, regular, and attractive way working to draw the listener in. Which kind of doesn't tell us a lot, I think, really.
Yeah, it doesn't really clear much up, does
it? I much prefer George Clinton, the musician George Clinton, who just says, if it makes you shake your rump, it's the funk. I reckon that's much better.
Yeah, that's perfect. And interestingly, I'm doing this interview about Prince after 3 p.m., and he was, I'm reading, became quite obsessed with funk and the definition of funk in his later years. A lot of his onstage banter was talking about funk. And he talked about funk being the space in between the notes as much as the notes themselves.
Oh, well, we're going to get to that. We're going to talk about that a bit later on. So we must have been reading the same books.
Awesome. So where should we begin?
We should begin by this idea that it makes you shake your rump, it makes you move, because when we talk about groove, we're really talking about a kind of physicality that groovy music makes you want to get up and dance. And so the connections to dance are really important. And in that, it's really about the connections of popular music that kind of emerged out of the black churches of America, really, if we trace it back. And churches in America have always functioned as such a great training ground for African-American musicians. And so the idea of groove as a kind of a physical manifestation is really aligned to that, that kind of frenetic, kinetic, spontaneous expression of Africanist worship styles. And exhortations by those kind of sanctified preachers and so on. So that the music literally moves you. It's a kind of a communion with a higher power, a spirit, I guess. So you can't kind of, I think you can't get away from that connection of groove to that idea as well.
So what have you got first, James Blood Ulmer?
Yeah, the first song I think kind of really crystallizes that idea. It's James Blood Ulmer's song, Jazz is the Teacher but Funk is the Preacher.
Come on in. Just the teacher, the funk is the preacher.
Yeah, jazz is the teacher and funk is the preacher. It's kind of looser than I expected it, Jared. I thought you were going to be playing with something with a real sort of a driving rhythm, but it was kind of...
It's loose.
It is. It's all over the place.
God liked funky.
Yeah.
Funky ministered to the people, apparently, according to musician Guthrie Ramsey Jr. That's what he famously said.
And if we're talking funk, we've got to talk James Brown, right?
We do. And so when we talk about James Brown, we're really talking about the physicality of funk and the body. What's called body talk, the body talk from, you know, Olivia Newton-John, when she talked about body talk. I suspect this is probably what she was talking about. So there's quite a lot of people who study, you know, popular musics, especially African American popular musics, talk about this idea of the physicality of music, and I love some quotes that you can find in books where, you know, for example, I've got one here, Marshall Jones, who's from the Ohio Players, a famous 70s funk band, who said when he was playing, he was the bassist, and when they were performing, he would look to the audience to read the dancers as kind of like a graph. He called it a graph, you know, how he would follow a bass graph, but he was looking to the audience to follow kind of how they were moving. So he said, I'd always find someone on the dance floor and I would watch how they moved. I'd watch them flowing with the hips and then move, and then I would get in sync with that. And I think that's quite instructive, this idea that he's getting in sync with the dancers, because we always talk about music being the generative force of dance and dancers follow the music, but actually there's plenty of kind of suggestion that it can work the other way around as well. And James Brown kind of really typifies that. He kind of led his band with his body, really. You know, and a totally accomplished multi-instrumentalist, but his Bootsy Collins, who was a musician in his own right, he said of James Brown that, you know, you noticed it wasn't so much about his singing and screaming, it was about his body and his moves, and you had to pay attention to the way he was moving to kind of get the codes and the kind of the signals from him, from his movement. So yeah, that kind of gives us idea that, again, it's groove is about movement, it's a physicality kind of thing.
Let's get this one on, eh?
Yeah, let's do it.
Papa's got a brand new bag. Yeah, I heard that one before. It's either been sampled a lot or maybe used in a TV.
Oh, yeah, used a lot. Yeah, sampled a lot. James Brown's, all of his work is sampled so much.
Papa's got a brand new bag. We've got musicologist Jared Mackley Crump in, and he's sort of doing the anatomy of a groove today.
And what's really interesting, sorry to interrupt, about that song, is when he introduced that song to the band, you know, that really forceful, the hit on beat one of, you know, that song is characterized by that forceful beat one, right? And popular music, of course, is really based on the offbeat, the two and the four, one, two, three, four. And when he introduced it to his band, the drummers actually couldn't do what he was wanting to at first. He had to kind of show them because it was kind of quite avant-garde. So, and again, it's just this idea that that was just his inspiration, as this kind of physical inspiration that kind of resulted in this rhythmic innovation. Nothing more than physical movement.
Paul has sent in his own definition. He says, if you listen to all the individual parts that make up a groove, you'll find it's the repetition of simple parts locked in the pocket together, which gives you a whole greater than the sum of the parts, which summons the primal urge to move that we all have in our DNA.
Wow. I need to break that one down a bit.
Yeah, same. Same. Thanks, Paul. Nice to hear from you. 2101 is the text number. tell us a bit about the artist Tom Brown. Tom Who is Brown. He and where does he fit in?
So this is more just the song. Tom Brown is another great funk artist. He was from Jamaica, from Queens in New York. So that's why the song we're going to play is not about Jamaica, but Jamaica and New York. And this is really about the fact that we start to get funk being defined as kind of like a verb or a noun in songs. So people start talking about the funk, or that they go into funk. And the song is funking for Jamaica, and it's just a great example of how funk becomes its own kind of thing in songs.
Okay. Just be careful singing this one. Here it comes. And introducing it, Funkin' for Jamaica. RNZ National, great playlist today. It's created by Jared Mackley-Crump, who's in Talking Groove.
It's a great song, that
Tuesday
one, isn't
Music
it?
Fitch. Yeah, it is, it is. As I say, it'd be a lovely little playlist to have on for summer.
Are you bopping away in your seat up there in Auckland, where you're kind of wiggling here in the studio in Wellington?
I've got one of the swing chairs, so I'm just kind of gently swaying from one side to the other.
Yeah. Nice segue. We need to talk about swing.
Go on, then.
Because swing is kind of funk's ancestor in a way. And when we talk about funk, when we talk about groove, we can also talk about swing. And so I just kind of want to make a couple of connections before talking about a few different ways we can talk about swing. And, songs like Go Go Swing by Chuck Brown and the Soul Searchers, where he samples Duke Ellington's It Don't Mean a Thing If It Ain't Got That Swing.
Yeah.
And the famous song, more famous song, Sir Duke by Stevie Wonder, which is, basically an homage to great swing artists. And he's got this really kind of cool lyric where he goes, "Just because a record has a groove, don't make it hit the groove. But you can tell by the dance that lets you in when the people start to move." So I kind of like that way he's talking about again, that groove is not necessarily just something in the record. It's got to kind of make the groove. It's got to make you dance. But I wanted to talk about Duke Ellington, a little bit, because he had his own kind of idea about groove, in effect, but he calls it swing. So this is what he said. He says, no notes represent swing. You can't write swing because swing is the emotional element in the audience, and there is no swing until you hear the notes. And he said, swing is liquid. And though the same group of musicians may play the same tune 14 times, they may not swing until the 15th time. And so I really like that idea. And also there's a nice kind of correlation there with the idea of flow from hip hop. So kind of, you know, swing is liquid and swing is flow is kind of the same kind of thing that's been, same kind of image that's been brought to mind, I guess. So Duke Ellington's liquid hypothesis. And I thought to line that up to a song, we can play the really lovely voice of Gregory Porter in his song Liquid Spirit.
Not the first time he's come up on the show, actually. He's a real
amazing.
He's a kind of a muso's muso, isn't he?
He is, I think, yeah.
This is Liquid Spirit.
Unreroute the rivers, let the damned water beat. There's some people down the way that's thirsty, so let the liquid spirit free. The people are thirsty because of man's unnatural hand. Watch what happens when the people catch wind, when the water hits the banks of that hard, dry land. Clap your hands now. Go ahead and clap your hands now. Clap your hands now. Go ahead and clap your hands now. Get ready for the wave. It might strike like a final flood. The people haven't drank in so long, the water won't even make mud. After it comes, it might come with a steady flow. Grab the roots of the tree down by the river. Dip your cup when your spirit's low. Clap your hands now. Go ahead and clap your hands now. Clap your hands now. Clap your hands now. Dip down and take a drink and fill your water tank. Dip down and take a drink and fill your water tank. The rivers, let the damned water beat. There's some people down the way that's thirsty. Let the liquid spirit free. The folk are thirsty because of man's unnatural hand. Watch what happens when the people catch wind of the water hidden banks of hard, dry land. Clap your hands now. Clap your hands now. Go ahead and clap your hands now. Clap your hands now. Dip down and take a drink and fill your water tank. Dip down, take a drink and fill your water tank. Liquid spirit. Liquid spirit.
Yeah, if you're wondering what that song is,
Liquid Spirit.
Gregory Porter is the artist, and Liquid Spirit. Liquid Spirit. This is Jared Mackley-Crump's sort of audio essay on what groove is. You're going to give us some sexy groove academic terminology now, Jared.
Yeah, so we're going in a slightly technical direction just for a couple of songs. So, but related to swing, though, so quantization is also called swing, and it's a sound processing effect. So we're moving into kind of the digital era now, where you could take sound recordings of instruments, and then you can shift the notes in time to make them more perfectly aligned to the beats, in other words, to kind of bring them into time. So originally it was a way to fix up discrepancies in recordings, right, to make it kind of sound more to the beat and on time. However, now swing or quantization is also used to add groove into recordings of mostly digital instruments, which of course, you know, by the nature, if you program a digital instrument into a computer program, it can only be really perfectly to the time. And so you have these settings called quantization or swing that kind of you swing a certain degree before the beat or after the beat, and it kind of adds groove into a recording.
So it sounds more live. So
it sounds more live, like it's real people playing and kind of negotiating that process of music making.
And you've got a sort of a local example of this.
I have, purely kind of just because I think it's quite a cool song. So Disclosure, featuring Lord Magnets. If you kind of listen to the various, you know, digital layers that are going on in there, there must be a whole lot of quantization, I reckon, because it sounds pretty funky to me.
Okay, here it comes.
Never really felt bad about it. As we drank deep from the light, 'cause I felt melting magnets, babe. The second I saw you through half shut eyes, smoke and sunset off Mulholland. He was talking, I was wondering about you and that girl. She your girlfriend, face from heaven. Bet the world she don't know. Pretty girls don't know things that I know. Walk my way, I'll share the things that you won't. Uh-oh, dancing past the point of no return. Let go, we can free ourselves of all we've learned. I love this secret language that we're speaking. Say it to me, let's embrace the point of no return. Let's embrace the point of no return. Let's embrace the point of no return. Never really thought we would make it. We'd be thinking about what could have been. But we've had a record summer. Can't turn it down. Now I don't wanna see the end begin. Smoke and sunset off Mulholland. He was talking, I was wondering about you and that girl. She your girlfriend, face from heaven. Bet the world she don't know. Pretty girls don't know the things that I know. Walk my way, I'll share the things that you won't.
It's Lords with Disclosure, and the song is called Magnets.
Do you reckon that counts as groovy?
Yeah, I was thinking about what it is. That's probably a less good example, but the one before, there's something about hearing finger clicking and hand clapping and sort of organic human element. And there's something in there, I don't know if it's a cowbell, or there's something a little organic in that drum beat. But yeah, it's a great song.
It is a good song.
Earlier in the show, we played Can You Dig It?
Yeah.
Why is that one in your playlist?
So this is kind of just an interesting story that again talks about this idea of adding groove into a song. So this is early 90s indie rock, right? Mock Turtles. But the drums were actually recorded digitally on a pad of drums. You know, when you see a drum kit and they're not actually drums, they're just pads. Have you ever seen those before?
Yeah.
So digital drums, and then the groove was added into that recording, and then the data from that was then used to generate samples of actual drums, which appear in the final recording. So it sounds like it's a real drum kit playing, and it's got groove added to make it feel, again, kind of organic and natural.
Mm-hmm.
And the drum kit is featured in the video for the song. So again, it was purposely done to kind of give that kind of air of kind of rock authenticity. You know, you have to have real instruments if you're playing kind of any form of rock music.
So digital first, and then digital returned into something.
And then groove added in, and then used to generate real
drums. I'm sure there's a reason. It sounds like quite a roundabout way of getting real drums on your record.
But let's see if maybe we can the drummer hear it. Was sick.
Let's see if we can hear it. Can You Dig It? We'll be right back. International. It's our Tuesday music feature. Jared Mackley Crump is playing some songs with different examples of groove, and he's been warming us up basically for the super academic stuff, which he's tried to bury in the middle of the music feature. So tell me about which I think this is going to be the original name of the Tuesday music feature. And I said to Emil, "Come on, mate, it's not gonna fly.
It's not gonna fly." But once you know, it's really interesting, right?
Participatory discrepancies.
Yes, this is what Prince is talking about. So this is traced to a musician turned academic, Charles Kyle, who really wanted to challenge the musical analysis approach that was basically influenced by Western art music approaches. And he said it was great for classical and art music, but it didn't really account for what he called the vital drive or groove of popular musics from jazz onwards. And he really thought that music is not about structure, but it's about a process. And therefore, groove is not kind of some essence in music that we kind of take for granted, but it's kind of something that it's something that's figured out between players each and every time music is performed.
Yeah.
And given our kind of discussion today, you know, you can probably include the communication between dancers and performers in that kind of process as well.
Yeah.
And so he comes up with this idea of participatory discrepancies, that the power of music or of groove comes from this process, and then the little discrepancies that are in the playing and in the timbre and the sounds that are created by instruments, whether it's kind of noticeable or not. But it's just in those tiny little fragments where you're kind of slightly just on or off the beat, you're playing just before the beat, just after the beat. That's the power of groove, of music.
Right.
Yeah. Funny enough, he went and spoke to Bo Diddley and lots of, you know, jazz and blues musicians and experts. And he said basically no one really kind of agreed on the basic principles of groove because of this idea that the groove is kind of so personal. It's created out of their own unique processes and their own kind of variances and discrepancies.
And so while you think that nailing it, it involves being really tight and everyone being exactly at the same time.
Maybe it's not. The
tighter you get, the better it's going to be. In fact,
it's the opposite.
There's something about the looseness, but the being loose but on.
Yeah. So I've got a couple of really obvious examples to play where listeners will, I think, really be able to hear it. And the first one is the Ronettes, Be My Baby. And this is really comes down to, you know, Phil Spector, the famous Wall of Sound producer, songwriter producer, who would have all of his musicians in one studio standing around various microphones and notoriously would make them record take after take, you know, sometimes reputed to go into the hundreds, the same song until he got the perfect kind of mix that he was happy with, because this is in the days before you had the ability to multi-track recordings. And if you listen really closely to Be My Baby, especially in the first chorus, you can hear the percussion, the kind of shakers, they slightly go out of beat, but they kind of holds together, but yet they're actually kind of just slightly out of time.
Great song too. Let's enjoy it. Okay, so that's the first one, Be My Baby from the Ronettes. And that was literally everyone standing around in the studio and just getting as close as they could, right, Jared? They weren't multi-tracking.
No, that's right. They all had to stand around microphones and record it again and again until he was happy with what he heard. He was a tyrant, apparently. But, you know, great music.
What's your other example?
So this one is really good. I'm so glad we were able to find this because it's not like it was a kind of big hit. But this is an American, Southern American musician by the name of Lee Bob. And this is a song where it's not so much that these kind of slight discrepancies as in it's the himself and the instruments are kind of so bending time that it almost is like they're going to completely collapse. and I kind of think that's the power, that they don't, but it's that tension of that it almost feels like they're going to completely fall out of time. And it's also, it's in 6-8 time. So that's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3. And that kind of swing in 6-8 always gives you that kind of freedom to create more groove, I guess, in the timing. So this is, yeah, a really great song.
So the guitarist is like, he knows where the beat is at. he'll get there eventually.
Exactly.
And it just kind of works, right?
Yeah, don't you reckon?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I love that example. It's such a great song.
Me too. Okay, you wanted to talk a bit about groove in other contexts.
Yeah, so maybe time for another quick couple. So firstly, rhythm. So the Jamaican concept of swing or groove is simply called rhythm, right? This distinctive pattern that's related to reggae dancehall dub music. That's what they call groove in Jamaica. So I thought, let's play something that's got rhythm. And Real Rock by Sound Dimension is a much sampled, much copied kind of example.
We'll be right back.
It's real rock. It sounds good, too.
Sounds good.
Yeah. And as you say, pretty familiar.
Yeah.
We're going to finish with something from a Pacific context.
Yeah, because I kind of, while I was listening to that, I was thinking, well, what if we tried to define groove, say, from, you know, our part of the world, from the South Pacific? What might we kind of consider groove to be here? And so I kind of thought, well, you know, in a Pacific context anyway, this is a pretty good example. It's that the guitar strum, the ukulele strum, the you know, that kind of fluid rhythm that is created by kind of South Pacific beats. So that for me, I mean, that's not the whole story of Pacific music, of course, but there's certainly one way we could think about groove in and of the Pacific. So I thought that might be kind of a nice way to end.
Yeah, let's take the whole thing. Jared, thanks so much for coming in.
Hey, thanks very much.
Jared Mackley-Crump on Groove for our Tuesday music feature, and this is Song for Grandma.